Welcome to the Lotco Business Podcast, a show all about helping you as a retailer, brand, or creative understand the actual business side of running your business. I offer straightforward, practical advice about the nitty-gritty of making money from your creative passion. We will be covering bite-sized business and marketing lessons, as well as interviews with experts and trailblazers in the fashion, homewares, and design industries. My name is Melissa Robbins. I'm a business coach, colour-loving, non-coffee-drinking Melburnian. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to today's episode. My name is Melissa Robbins. Thank you for joining me here. Super excited to share with you today some information all about some takeaways from the conference that I was at a couple of weeks ago. Those of you who follow along on stories and on Instagram might have seen that I was in California speaking at a conference, the Ultimate Product Party. And luckily for me, I got to stay and be a part of the event as well. And so got to absorb so much information from all the amazing speakers, all the amazing customers, clients, people who are there, brand business owners who are there attending. So much that you can take away from having that live event interaction. I just love that connection that you make with people and the potential of what that could become as well. Now, this one in particular was a product business conference, which again is quite a rare event. It's quite hard to find product-based business only events. So this one being that was super, I was so excited to be a part of. And I just wanted to share with you today some 10 takeaways that I had from that event and really just dive into a little of them, some of them in detail, but otherwise just really share what sort of the general consensus of things that were talked about and what were some themes that came up. And so let's get straight into it. Number one is that you should be making sure that you sell the problem that you solve and not the product that you have. Now, that was on the cover of the book that we got as well, and I thought that was such a great takeaway. And I know that it's something I've definitely heard before, and I'm sure you've heard before as well. But it's just a good reminder to that when you are, you know, working on your social or your content or your emails or your Instagram or your product descriptions on your website, what are you talking about? Are you focusing just on the actual features of that product, or are you talking more about the benefits and the sort of things it can do for you or do for your customer as opposed to just the product details? So, example, I often talk about Kelly from Clipster, one of my clients, and she has a hat clip, but what she's really selling is that problem of, for her initially, she came up with the idea because her son would lose his hat all the time, or it'd be, maybe not generalizing, maybe her kids in general. You never know where your kid's school hat is, and every day they need it, and you're like, where is that hat? And I don't know about anyone else, but my daughter had the same hat from day one of prep all the way to the end of year six. The same hat did not change. She kept the same hat. My son had probably about 15 different hats because he would lose them all the time. So for me, I really resonated with this idea of this hat clip. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that is totally what I needed, because then it was one of those things you always knew where it was. It was would have been much easier. So it's definitely where, if you're looking at what problem you're solving, and you know, if you go out, you're wearing your hat, but then you want to take it off, or you go inside, then you've got somewhere to clip on your hat onto, and you've got hands free. So again, that's a problem that you're solving with that particular product. So it's not just about what the product looks like, but it's about what the problem it can solve for you. If you're selling something like fashion or art, you know, like, you're not necessarily talking about what it is specifically, but maybe you're selling a dress, and it's about how you that feels wearing that dress, or how comfortable you'll be in it, or that it has, you know, like amazing waistline and pockets, so it's really flattering. So what are you selling? Length of the dress or the particular fabrication, but how it's going to make you feel wearing that, or how that art is going to make, how it's going to make you feel seeing that art in every day in your home or your space. So they're the things to focus on there. Number two, and this ties into this as well, is that storytelling element. So really making sure that you add in storytelling and trying to build connection with your audience and your customer, as opposed to just focusing on those likes or viral content and stuff like that. So really trying to focus on how to build that connection with your customers, really build that engagement, tell your stories. The first one, none of the problem you solve. I spoke in one of my sessions yesterday in my group coaching call about one of my clients makes soap. But, you know, she's not just what I asked her why she started making it in the first place and why her product is different to anyone else's. And she was a former nurse, and she talked about, you know, that she saw the impact of chemicals on your skin and how that impacted disease and, or, you know, the feeling your impact of rashes and all that sort of stuff as well. So she wanted to create a natural product that was made from the earth, and she knew exactly what was in it, and that was why it was sort of built in the first place, or created in the first place. So telling that story is really important to her customers so that they know why she's created this product in the first place and why this soap is different to another soap, or the other products that she has are different to other products. So it's not just about the actual product that she's selling, but why behind it and the connection between, you know, her previous past and history and why she does what she does now. So that's a really important thing to bring into your content, your emails, your product descriptions, all that sort of stuff as well. Number three is a TikTok. So lots of you might already be on TikTok, or lots of you might have it as your main content that you create and main social media that you use. But even if you are using it now, you might not be using the TikTok shop. So that is one of the things that someone talked on, and it was a really great conversation actually. And I would love to get lots of the people who I had speakers at the event, I'll get on the podcast as special guests, because lots of them had amazing specialized information that they could share. But the TikTok shop is one that has a potential that TikTok is pushing this, and it has got amazing for potential to, even if you don't have a large audience, there's creators out there creating, you know, user-generated content for you, and they are actually sending the products as well, dispatching for you. So if you've got a product that you think could work at scale or could work to do, you know, get out to a lot more people in a huge audience, that would be amazing. Definitely have a look at how you can use TikTok shop in your business, or, you know, touch base with me and ask me who I could forward you some information on who to talk to about that too. Now, number four is AI. Now, we all have heard about AI and all have probably started hopefully using it in your business as well, but how do you use it in a way? It's saving you time. So really what the focus was there was making sure that you analyze, you know, what are the things that you don't like doing? What are the things that take you a lot of time, that suck your time and, you know, drain you? How can you use AI to help you in those instances? How can you, and ideally you would be paying for that next level or that paid option, because you get a much better output, because you get if you work on your input, you get a much better output as well from ChatGPT or the other one, Gemini, they talked about, has, you know, got, it takes information from different places. So that was quite interesting as well. But definitely using AI as more as your intern, not as a VA. So you can't expect AI to do everything for you, but how can you use it to save a bit of time, do a few tasks for you that you don't like to do or that you do repetitively, and it can make it a lot faster by using it as well. So lots of things have AI integrated into them now, like say Google Chrome and, you know, lots of different apps or websites have it integrated. So how can you start using that in a different way as well? All right, number five is that buyers want to buy from confident people. How can you speak with confidence? Do you need to work on your voice training? Do you need to work on your posture? Do you need to work on the, you know, words and the copy that you use in your language, in your website, on your emails, in your social media captions and stuff like that? Buyers want to know that you're back yourself, that you own your product, that you know how good it is, and that you, you know, want to share it with more people. You know that you're the best retail store in town. You know that you've got the best gift wrapping. Like, own it. And how can you do that if you don't already have that confidence? You know, what can you do to work on that and focus on that? Because it really does make a difference when you're owning what you're putting out there and you're confident in talking about it and you're confident in sharing it with more people. And you also see that selling is a service, and it's not, you shouldn't be looking at selling as a negative and that it's hard and that people don't want to be sold to. People want storytelling, and definitely they want to know about, you know, how it can transform their life, not just selling the product as we talked about, but work on how you can be confident in what you put out there and what you share about your product as well. Number six is about website and your product pages. So a couple of things here, just to make sure that you're converting as high as possible. I've talked about this in my, I have a full program on 5 days to boost your conversion rate, because that is definitely something that I know a lot of people need to work on. But with your product page, definitely have at least five photos. So five, lifestyle, a product shot, have the product in use, different angles or length, or show scale as well. And then potentially an infographic showing, the features and benefits of the actual product on the photo as well. So minimum five photos, and definitely lifestyle and scale within that as well. And show me the different, up against something else or with a person in it so I can see scale and stuff like that too. It really makes a big difference. Have a call to action in your description. So at the bottom of your product description, get your keychain today, be the bad bitch that you are, no time like the present, go grab it today. Like, for example, there's just a few that were, examples that we talked about in the session. So what can you say there to really have that call to action in your description? People need reminders to purchase. And then also reviews. Make sure you have reviews. If you don't have reviews for each product, make sure you've got them on your homepage. But ideally, you'd have them per product and you'd ask for them as well. Hello, lovely. If you're looking for a way to grow your product business without relying on Facebook ads or posting daily on social media, then I invite you to register for my free masterclass. This is happening very, very soon. And inside of this masterclass, I'm sharing the strategy behind building a profitable product-based business so you can attract consistent customers and scale to six figures and beyond. I also emphasize how to create a sustainable long-term business, which is such an important factor for me. I'm so excited to be teaching this masterclass soon. So make sure you go and register for your free spot by heading to the link in the show notes below. Number seven is, this was a time-saving little hack. And I love this one because we all know we probably all spend too much time on our phones. And so having a different pages on your phone, so you've got a personal page and you've got a business page. So maybe you separate like the apps that you use for your business more often and put them on a particular page on your phone, whether it's a second page or third page or something like that. And when you've got a personal page as well. So you're really separating out the things that you're not just randomly scrolling, because it's harder to find, if that makes sense. I'm sure you can still do it, but just having those automations so that you're not automatically going to the same things if it's personal time and stuff like that. Having time trackers, so making sure that you have time trackers on your phone and on your widgets and stuff on your phone, and really editing your dashboard essentially of your phone to have the things to save you time. So for me, for example, I look at my calendar a lot. How I should be adding a widget onto my phone so it sort of shows exactly what's going to happen that day without me having to go into the app, if that makes sense. Having some tech shortcuts, and I do this already, but having things like your keyboard, instead of me typing out my email, I just press TTT and that will come up with hello@thelotco.com.au, because it's just an easier way for me to do it instead of typing it every time. My personal email, I just put GM and it comes up with my whole email. So I don't know why I picked those particular letters, but that's what I did. It's not even what my email is. But having some tech shortcuts, what do you do all the time? Saving you time. Definitely have some little widget on your homepage of your phone, and try and separate out those business and pleasure things as well. All right, number eight is to spend equal time on attracting your audience and nurturing your audience and the retention of your audience. Now, this is a big one that I really wanted to dive into a little bit more, because so many people spend, either money or time attracting people on using the social to find new people to buy from you, new customers, and get in front of new people, but they don't spend enough time with that retention and really nurturing who their customer is, using email marketing, building a community, having some content out there that's really about servicing and, sharing what your audience loves. So spending too much time on just the attraction, not enough on the nurturing. So having that equal amount of time, and have a little think about what you do in your marketing. How much time do you spend trying to attract? And then how much time do you spend nurturing? So trying to balance out and, retaining those customers as opposed to just trying to get new ones all the time. And servicing the customers you have and really understanding who they are, knowing who your best 20 customers are, knowing who your best, looking at your data, checking out how many times someone's ordered you with you. Maybe someone's coming up to their 20th order with you. Like, send them an amazing celebratory gift with that too, because that's pretty awesome. So what can you do to retain and nurture the current customers you have if you're not spending enough equal amount of time on both as well? Number nine is adding customer experiences to retail and also e-com if you do this as well. But people are way more likely to spend money, enjoy paying for an experience than just a product. And this comes into play, say, for example, if you, you know, you might customize a jewelry, you might customize a hat, you might customize certain things. So how can you add a customer experience to retail so that people will come along for the experience and not just for product? And this might include, if you have a physical retail store, having guest people come in to your store. And let's say you have someone come in and do tattooing. I don't know, I'm just making a random example here. Or you have someone come and do the, you know, ear stacking on your piercing. So what could you have that was an experience that you could add into your store? And if you have a online store, what could you do customized to add an experience to that event as well? So you've got something different, a point of difference. So people are more willing to pay for experience than just product. So how can you add that element into your business as well? And then number 10, how to hire people. This was a good one. And again, these people spoke for, you know, between 30 minutes to an hour each. I'm just giving you tiny little snippets of some takeaways that I had. But this one was good in terms of having people come in. Sorry, when you're hiring, adding elements of tests throughout the process so that you're able then to filter your applicants a little bit more. So, for example, you might have, you know, an ad go out into a number of places, but then once you filter it out and you've got, let's say, 30 people that you want to, that you're interested in, send them something that says, great, you know, this is the next step. Send me an email with this in the subject line and give me a 2-minute video of you telling me, I don't know, a little bit about yourself or telling me what you would change on my website, something like that. So giving them a little test at that starting point to filter people out, because you're definitely going to get people who are just not even going to do it. They're going to just not read instructions or understand the instructions at all. So it helps you filter them out as well. And then you might get some great feedback and really get some personality in there too. So that's just one little point in the process. And you might add some more tests in further down the line too. Say, for example, if you're hiring someone for retail, you might get them to come in for an hour, spend some time with you on the floor. You would pay them if that, you know, got to the point where they're doing time for you. If you're getting someone to do your social media marketing, maybe you get them to spend an hour, create an email, create 2 posts for you or something like that. So how can you add some elements of tests in there before you get down to that, getting them into your, straight into your business? So when you're hiring, thinking about how you can add a few little elements in there to get a better, essentially it was called getting an A player, not a C player, into your business. So how can you do that? And what can you do to the next time you're looking to hire someone as well? To take away, and a lot of, you know, mixed information there as well, but let's just go through in the 10 takeaways. So what they are: make sure you sell the problem that you solve and not the product you have. Really making sure that you focus on the problem solving, not the actual product. Number 2 is storytelling and connection. How can you connect with your audience more? How can you add storytelling elements to what you send out, what you share, how you, you know, talk about your why, your values of your product, the values of your business, what you do, why you do what you do? So storytelling and connection is more important than followers and things like that. Number 3 is a TikTok shop an option for you? I don't know enough about it to be able to help you with it, but I'm going to get someone on to help on the podcast because she was awesome. And I think that is a huge opportunity for lots of people because TikTok are pushing it as well. Number 4 is, and actually in there, she talked about even artists doing live streaming their art through the TikTok shop, and then they can sell prints of that as well. So something like that came up, which I thought was pretty cool. Number 4 is how to use AI. Make sure that you use AI as an intern, not as a VA, to really help you. Use it for tasks that you don't like doing. Test out doing things that you know, take time and are a time suck. How can you use it to help you streamline parts of your business? Number 5 is buyers buy from confident people. How can you build your confidence around the way you speak, the way that you portray your information, and the way you talk about your product and stuff too? Number 6 is product photos. Make sure you've got at least 5. Have a call to action on your product description and add reviews. Number 7 is add time-saving widgets to your phone and reorganize your desktop of your phone. I say desktop, but I mean main screen, to have those things that you use often as little widgets, and then also add some tech shortcuts if you don't already have them in there as well. Number 8 is spend equal time in your attraction and retention of customers, not just on one. Number 9 is adding customer experiences to your retail or online business. How can you do that? What elements could you add as an experience as opposed to just the product? And number 10 is hiring. So adding little tests into your hiring process to get you A players and not C players in your business. So that is 10 little takeaways from the session that I conference that I was at. And obviously going to in-person conferences, it might be one person that you meet. It might be one conversation that you have. It might be one speaker that you take a little tidbit from. But it can be such a great way to grow in your business, to always, you know, step outside the working in your business all the time, get to see what other people are doing. I love that experience of having that having that product-based business specialized program, conference, because that's not often that it actually comes together, and having everyone there having their own business, you're in the same boat, you understand how everyone feels, you really get to connect and build community with people and, you know, get to talk about things that are going on in their business, and maybe they're 1 year ahead of you, maybe they're 10, but you always get some takeaways from that as well, which can be great. Hope that you've enjoyed this solo episode this time. I know I've had quite a few guest ones in a row. I have got lots more guest ones coming up, as well as some new solo ones coming out as well. So look forward to sharing, and thank you so much for being here and listening. And yep, I'll share with you more again soon. So thanks again. Thank you so much for listening to the Lotco Business Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe to receive future episodes as they are released. And I'd be so, so grateful for a review on Apple Podcast. If you would like a copy of the show notes or any of the links mentioned today, please jump onto my website at thelotco.com.au/podcast. Have an amazing week, and I look forward to chatting to you again soon.